This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. How are you, my sisters and brothers?
Alhamdulillah.
A'udhu billahi as-sami'il 'alim. Min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi min jalali wajhika wa 'azimi sultanik. Allahumma ajilna ma yanfa'una wa qana mimma 'allamtana wa zidna 'ilma. Allahumma ighfir lana, Allahumma tub 'alaina. Allahumma ihdina sawa'a as-sabil. Rabbi ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ihlul 'uqdatam min lisani. All praises are due to Allah. We have no God but Him. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His last and final messenger. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We ask Allah to make us among those. We ask Allah make us among those who truly love each other for His sake and enter Jannah together. Ameen. Of course, my brothers and sisters, no matter how much we speak about marriage and parenting from an Islamic perspective, we will never give the due right to this subject because it's, I think, in my humble opinion, this is the most important subject in the whole Islamic science, marriage and parenting. Why? Because marriage is what leads to form a family, and family is the most important unit in society. And the Ummah of Islam is hurting right there. Many Muslims don't learn before marriage. They don't learn about the importance of marriage. They think marriage is a fitra thing that man and woman have to do, and that's it. But they don't understand the greatness of this institution, and that's why many of us don't give, they are not ready, mentally they are not ready. They think marriage is a legal relationship between a man and woman to have children, and that's it. And that's where the mistake is. That's where the devil's deception is. For example, a man, many of us, we fell in love to marry, but we did not really marry to, for example, strengthen Islam, to spread Islam. You fell in love with a sister, she liked you, or, you know, you came to her house and the parents accepted, and that's it. We need to correct this with the next generations. Next generations, they have to do this. They have to say, I would like to marry someone who will help me grow in my faith, number one, who will help me become a better Muslim, and who will help me, inshallah, form a stronger unit of the Muslim society, which is family. With this, the minimum idea of what I said, inshallah, what happens? You overcome most of the problems that shaitan may put between you and your spouse, and you definitely will attain that inshallah goal. But ask anyone getting married, why you want to get married? You just say, because I want to get married. He will think your question is, there is something wrong with your question. Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, everything you should do it for me. When we pray for who? Very good. When we fast to who? When we marry? To ourselves? No. To Allah Azza wa Jal as well. Jihad for Allah Azza wa Jal. Then when we give Allah His right, He will bless the rest for us, including marriage. Marriage will help you parents later on. He will help you parent, because you married for Allah's sake. So parenting will be for Allah's sake. Many people marry, but they are not ready to be parents. That's why when a wife is pregnant, baby comes, they are, especially the father, is shocked. So we tell him, what did you expect, brother, when you got married? There should be children. And Allah has blessed you. So you see him not ready For example, to even take his kids to school. Or to help his wife handle the pressure of being mother. He rather watches soccer than help his sick wife. There are people like that. Why? Because they never in their minds were ready to be banned. While in Islam, Rasulullah ﷺ taught us to start talking to our children about marriage at the age of 13, 14. 13, 14, we start talking to them. That inshallah, one day you get married, you have. So you are preparing them. But we are not. Sometimes our children are in their 20s. We still don't want even to talk with them about it. And this is where the mistake I'm going, inshallah, to elaborate a little bit today. So, I just want to recap quickly with the rights of spouses on each other, quickly, just bullet points, because I mentioned them long time ago in previous classes. So, I just want to mention that so that everybody stays with me in the same page. Number one, the rights of women, of wives. There are 5 rights. Man has to give his wife 5 rights. Mm-hmm. Beyond these 5 rights, your husband, sisters are very, very generous. Below this, they are not doing their job. Allah will grill them yawm al-qiyamah about these 5 things. What are they? Number one, to live with her with ma'ruf. What is ma'ruf?
Kindness.
To live with her with kindness. To be kind. What does it mean to be kind? To feed her from what he feeds himself. Mm-hmm. To clothe her from what he clothes himself. Mm-hmm. And to give her a drink and provide for her shelter. This is ma'ruf. And also to discipline her verbally or even through the siwak on her hand. Mm-hmm. Siwak, no longer than the pen. On her hand or tie. If she disobeys him. Why to discipline her that way? So that the marriage doesn't go to blockade or to divorce. Number two, to teach her the necessities among the religion. So it's the husband who teaches the wife. If he cannot teach her, he should let her attend classes. Like, alhamdulillah, our sisters in Islam. They become better Muslims. Why? Because Allah commanded the man to look after his wife and kids. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. All you who believe, protect yourselves and your wives and children from Jahannam. So it's the duty of the husband. It's the duty of the husband. To do what? To teach his wife the necessities of the religion. What is wajib? To be known. For example, to teach her the Quran. To read the Quran and learn the Quran, the tafsir, is wajib. To teach her salat. To teach her what is zakat, what is fasting, how to make ghusl. The man's supposed to know that. The problem is many men don't know that. Because of the secular life we grew up in. Unfortunately, we are also victims. Number three, he should make sure that she is following the deen. Whose duty is that? The husband, for example, that she is wearing hijab, that she is praying 5 times a day, that she is fasting Ramadan, that she is making up her days that she missed. The days she missed in Ramadan, you should ask her, did you make up or not yet? Ramadan is about to come now. Two more months. Don't exclude this one. Rajab, Sha'ban. And she didn't even fast 4 or 5 days that she missed. Whose duty is that? You cannot just say, well, it's her. No, it's your duty to remind her and to also protect her. Protect her what? Sexually, so that she doesn't look for another venue of na'udhu billah haram. Meaning to spend time with her in bed. This is the right of a woman. The fourth, in case he is married to another one, he must do justice. In case he is married to another one, he must do justice. This is the right of a woman to be given time, to be given kindness, to be given love and rahmah. And not, for example, marry second one and spend time only with the second one. No more the first, like some men. Number five, he should never reveal her secrets. So it's the right of a woman that her husband should never say something that is secretive. For example, something she said to him, just between her and him. He should not say that. Some men do. He may have found something on her body. You know, what do you call those?
Birthmark.
He shouldn't say. She may have said something about her past, whether happiness or anger. He should not reveal that. Is this clear? Yes. So these are the five rights of women over their husbands. Anything extra than this, the husband does for his wife, he is being generous. Meaning Allah will ask us, men, we brothers, about these five things. I repeat them quickly. To live with her in kindness, to provide for her with whatever, alhamdulillah, he can. Number two, to teach her the necessities of the religion. Number three, to make sure she is following Islam. She is not, you know, going outside without proper dress. She is not, she's praying, she's fasting, you know, she is doing her deen. Number four, to do justice between her and other women if he is married to another one. And that he should never show or reveal a secret or a defect that she may have. Haram, no matter what. Now the rights of husbands. Why I'm repeating this subject quickly? Because I want you to see where we are hurting and how we can, inshallah, avoid the devil's deception in marriage and marriage. Number one, the right of a husband over his wife, complete obedience. But not in disobeying Allah. A wife must obey her husband. But not when he disobeys God. For example, he tells her, let's have sexual intercourse during Ramadan. It's his right to have time with her. But it's not the time. She says, no, we are fasting. You are fasting. She has to remind him. Even if she is not fasting. He has to tell him no. You cannot say, well, Rasulullah said, the woman who doesn't come to her husband's bed, the malaika will curse her. You know, some men are good at that, at picking and choosing. MashaAllah, they become even mufti. Because they want something, and they start gathering all the ayahs and ahadith. No, it doesn't work. But after Maghrib, between Taraweeh and Fajr, no problem. But not then. Is this clear? If your husband, sister, God forbid, says, come with me to the bar. I want you to go with me and travel with me and take off the hijab. In this case, you don't obey him. But if he says, let's go visit my parents in Hari Raya first. Then your parents. Don't raise Yom Al-Qiyamah. Alas. He said, we go. Yalla. Habis. So this is what we meant, obedience of husband in the obedience of Allah. Complete obedience. Number two, the protection of the honor of the husband. A woman is responsible for the honor and the image of her husband in community. She should never bring him shame. For example, she talks to men so much on the streets. She laughs loudly. She does high five with other men. She's bringing so much disrespect and shame to her husband. She shouldn't do that. She should protect him also in his money, his property, especially when he is not in town. And she should run his house, meaning she makes sure the house is clean, the food is cooked, clothes are washed, etc. The house is tidy and clean. Number three, she should not leave the house without his permission. And for these sisters, you need really to take permission from your husband. Do you know that no woman should leave the house without her husband's permission? Now, he may give you an open permission, blank check, for example, for grocery or for school, for taking children to, for visiting your mother, but let's say going somewhere. That he didn't give you permission. Even for classes, you have to have his permission. It's your right to learn, but it's also his right to give permission. So I hope if everybody knows his rights and his duties, alhamdulillah, everybody will work in harmony. It's because we don't know. Jahil, we don't know. Imagine you start a project of construction and you know nothing about construction. You don't even know how to start, who to call. It will be tough. But let's say you learned the techniques, who to call, who to do this, what to do. Then, alhamdulillah, you can start that project. So marriage is a great project. But Allah himself performed the nikah of Adam and Hawa. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, it's Allah who performed the nikah above seven heavens when he created them and said men. So it is something big. Now parenting. So do you think we can parent children when we don't even know each other's rights and duties? You don't even know the right of your partner. How can you run the company? You have hundreds of employees. So employees are children. How can you parent a child when, for example, you never give right to his or her mother? And vice versa. Children are seeing dichotomy. They are seeing something wrong. It's like you tell them, don't lie while you lie. Same thing. When you tell them, be good, but they see you not good to their mother, or vice versa. Respect someone older than you. You are not respecting his or her mother. The mother is not respecting the father. All right. So with this, my dear sisters and brothers, Shaitan comes here and teaches us one thing. First, he tells you, you can parent the children by yourself. Actually, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that parents by themselves can do a good job. You need a whole village to raise a child. It's true. You need grandpas. You need first parents, of course, the duty of parents. You need teachers. You need educators. You need imam. You need trainers. You need tuition centers. So, you need to know where to position yourself in society, who to mix with. You know, children learn by imitation first. In a young age, the children learn through imitation. For example, they see you pray, they can pray. They see you dance, they dance. They see you cursing, they curse. They see you saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, they say Subhanallah. So it's through imitation. Now, since children learn first through imitation, you have to put them in a society that is good for them to imitate. But many of us know, what do? They want their children to go to agama class, but they don't want to give that first, which is mixing with the rich and the affluent, with the, this one, tell me about it, with the luxurious people of luxury. What's wrong, Sheikh, with people of luxury? What's wrong? You don't even know what's wrong? Who can give me what's wrong with people of luxury? People who are, they cannot work unless they sit on a lazy boy sofa. Cannot watch. What is it? You can't even listen to the speech of khutbah or a dust like this if there is no air conditioning. You are so worried about that sweat that is coming out, then what is being said to you in Jumu'ah? Oh, so you miss a great chance of learning something. Another thing, life changes, my brothers and sisters. Life goes ups and downs. You just saw great princes of Saudi Arabia entering jail. SubhanAllah. People who used to have golden planes full of gold, when they fly now in jail. SubhanAllah. The reason? Because they have forgotten the nature of this dunya, up and down. So today you are in luxury, tomorrow? And you are not never used to hardship, a little bit, you know, strength. Even Hajj will be so difficult for you. You'll be worried about which hotel we're going to stay in, instead of when I'm going to see the Kaaba and just be around the Kaaba. You missed it. Oh, the hotel should be just 50 meters. Why don't we build for your house near the Kaaba and that's it? So that you'll be here. You'll be so pleased. Allahu Akbar. You got it? Careful of luxury, my sisters and brothers. Islam is not against good life. But luxury means forgetting that there is one day hardship. And that's wrong. Because dunya will bite you one day. So you are ready. You are ready. You're tough. You're strong. You're ready. In marriage, those times also happen. Sometimes you have financial problem, you and your husband, sister. So what to do? Now go sell all those plates, golden plates, or eat them better. Takbir. You have been wasting time, money on those, yalla. Now you start selling your very expensive jewelry that used to be expensive in the 80s and 90s. Now, when you go to Habib Jeweler, he just look at you and give you... the price he gives you is very depressing. Already you have a heart attack. Oh my God, I thought I will make money on gold. You got it? So, careful. Same thing, brothers. Your Rolex watch still carries your watch same time. Except that the thief will steal yours and not the cashier. Honestly, sisters and brothers, although it's funny, but wallahi, my heart hurts when I see Muslims wasting so much money on things that are not necessary by nature. Really? Careful. Nice car, enough. Nice house, enough. Nice watch, enough. Yalla. Why collection of expensive watches? Allahu Akbar. Why you change your phone every year? Yet you are the worst communicator. Every year, what this phone? X. Y is coming. Why? I don't know what. Yet you don't even send a salam to your mom. Or your dad. Or if you speak, you communicate only through emojis. No more assalamu alaikum. How are you? Angry. How are you? Happy. La ilaha illallah. So, you see, it's not alhamdulillah, I'm fine. No. Marriage and parenting. Now, who did you marry? It's a big help or big problem for you in parenting. Because when you marry a good person, it will help you. That person, he or she, will help you so much in raising the children and in covering your deficiencies. But when you marry someone not good at all, but maybe beautiful, or handsome, or rich, or from an important financially family, but that person really doesn't even know what does it mean to handle a child. How do you think my brothers and sisters will? These things we could have avoided if we just had what we call pre-marriage Islamic counseling. before someone gets married, I advise you, my brothers and sisters, especially those who are not yet married, you meet a alim and sit with him on one-on-one. Ask for 1 hour or two and say, please advise us what to do. We didn't marry yet. We are still engaged. No one does that. Very few people do that. Very few people. Learn. Teach us, please, the sunnah of Rasulullah before marriage. During marriage. They don't. Alright? So, try to do that. Try to include that as a session for your children who are, inshallah, getting married. Or, inshallah, in a few years, they be, mashallah, taller than you. Don't worry about it. And you prepare for them now. Number two, it's never too late. It's never too late to start working on things and improving yourself. Sahaba radiallahu anhum improved themselves, my brothers and sisters, at the age of 60, 70. Don't say it's too late, I'm old. No. I said Sahaba worked on their attitudes and changed their behaviors in a very old age. When there is a will, there is a way. And when there is a good teacher, wallahi al-azim, it will work. For example, someone has a problem with anger. An angry man or angry woman. That is bad. In marriage, it's going to cost you. You may say talaq easily as a man. And you may ask for divorce easily as a woman because you are an angry bird. Like bear. So what to do? You need to go and work with ustaz or ustaz are people you know. Please advise me from an Islamic point of view, Sheikh or Ustaza, about what to do, how to handle. I have a problem. Admit it. Don't be in denial. Don't say, but they make me angry. Yes, someone is making you angry. You become angry. They know your weakness. Khalas. I lose it, Sheikh. When I get angry, I lose it. You lose what? You're going to lose your life one day. That it becomes your life. And then you no more exist. No. So you have to work on it. Someone is stingy. Doesn't spend on his wife and kids. Necessities. Well, how do we... One day a sister came to me and said, Sheikh, my husband is stingy. So I asked her, how stingy he is? She started saying, he doesn't take me for traveling. I said, he's not stingy. Because in her mind, she thought taking her overseas, berating her is... No, stingy is when he doesn't spend on his electricity bills, when he doesn't feed you, when he doesn't clothe you, when he doesn't provide for you shelter. Here is stingy. Because he's not doing his necessities. The rest say he's not being more generous than I expect. Then here you are not harming him, you are not lying. You see, I corrected her. Because she thought she's comparing him to other women who are married to other men. Then I said, no, sister. If your husband provides this thing, he's not stingy. If he doesn't provide the necessities, yes. Is this clear? Likewise, when a man comes and says, my wife doesn't obey me. And I said, give me an example. And he says, for example, the example of Ramadan. I say, you praise. She should not, she is right, you're wrong. So sometimes we assume things in marriage. We are wrong, not the other partner. So instead of blaming people, look inside you. Like Sayyidina Yunus alayhi salam did. The approach of Sayyidina Yunus is amazing. In Surah Al-Anbiya, verse 87-88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا وَظَنَّ أَنْ لَنْ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ فاستجبنا له ونجيناه من الغم وكذلك ننجي المؤمنين. Two great ayahs that need really to be mentioned in this context. Yunus alayhi salam, my sisters and brothers, dunnun. Yunus alayhi salam. When he fell into the sea and the whale swallowed him, he did not blame his people. Oh, it was because of them I left, and now I am stranded in the sea and the whale has swallowed me. He just looked at himself and he said, there is no God but you, O Allah. Glory be to you. I was wrong. I was among Oran Zalim. I wronged myself. So he looked at himself. This is the approach we need from now on. When there is an issue in family, instead of blaming her or she blames you, each one looks at himself and say, what's my share of this problem? That is one way of solving marital problems. The Quran said, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Immediately, we answered his prayers, وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ, and saved him. And that's how we will save the believers. Meaning any one of us who may have the same problem like Yunus, not necessarily fall into the water, but fall into the water of marriage, divorce, hardship, business, things. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you look inside and say, I think I made a mistake, please forgive me, Ya Allah. Allah will solve your problem. Now, children. So we said you need other people to help you raise the children. But you have to position yourself in the society with good people, good neighbors, for example. For example, don't go to a bad neighborhood and expect your children to be good. Because neighborhood has an impact on them. They may be looking outside to drug dealers, selling drugs. They may be looking outside to children smoking. They want to try that. Don't take them to school where crime is high. Remove them. Take them from that school away. You the father, you the mother. Don't say, no, I don't want to miss my class. I love my friends. Take them. They cry for 2-3 days and that's it. They make again friends. And I am so shocked at parents who cannot take decision in front of their kids. And I say, who's the father, you or him? Who's the mother, you or her? Sheikh, I tried, but you see, he's hitting himself. He's hitting himself? Come, I hit him more. You're hitting only with one wall? Yalla, 4 more walls. Then that child will have bruises, concussion, and then sleeps. Then wake up tomorrow in a different school. But he goes the way you want. Because you are more mature and more intelligent than him. So don't let immaturity, childhood, run over maturity. That's wrong. Unacceptable. So that's the mistake of parents. You know that in that school, children don't do well and there is crime and this and that. But your child likes it. He wants to stay there. She wants to stay there. No way. Khalas. You move them to another school. Better environment. At least less problems than them. Of course, there is no perfect school. There is no perfect school. Okay, my sisters and brothers? The other way, also parenting, please welcome every interference, positive interference from family. But nicely, you reject an interference from family if they are going to spoil your child. For example, grandma or mother-in-law always, mashallah, pampers her children, grandchildren. You should nicely decline that. Please, this is not the way I want my kids to grow up. My children must go to the masjid, for example. My children must go to Quran class. Grandma says, no, it's not allowed. Come and sit down here. But no. But if she, for example, you see your father or your mother or your parents-in-law telling your child, don't eat with the left. Don't say no, it's not allowed. Be quiet. Because what they are teaching is the right thing. Be quiet. But not when they are wrong. This is parenting. Also teachers. Allahu Akbar. The way we grew up, my sisters and brothers, I'm sure some of you also same thing. You cannot tell your father and mother that my ustaz has hit me. My teacher in Quran, especially Quran class teacher, hit me. You cannot say that to your father and mother. Why? They beat you up. Because you must have done something wrong for the teacher to hit you. So you can't. Even complaining to them, you can't. So that there is only one way, you study. SubhanAllah. You memorize Quran as much as you can. Why? Because your parents will benefit from you, my son. In their grave, whenever you come to visit them, you will at least read a few verses, make dua. Or any Quran you read, you teach, you read for your salah, they have pahala because they alhamdulillah, make you memorize those surahs or those juz, satu juz, duwa juz, tiga juz, 30 juz, whatever, alhamdulillah. So do not go against teachers. In parenting, my brothers and sisters, big mistake parents do. What is it? Sometimes they talk in front of the children about how bad is this teacher. Even if that teacher is bad, would you be man enough and woman enough to go and tell him how bad he is? Face him instead of talking bad. So who is worse now? And the children are now disrespecting the idea of teacher. Because there are other good teachers. So the other good teachers will pay. Because daddy and mommy always make fun of that teacher. Or ridicule him. Or speak bad about him. No. So you don't talk negatively in front of the kids about any teacher. Even when there is a reason, you go and talk to the teacher. Work together. Work together to save that child. And direct him towards learning, inshallah, something of dunya and akhirah. So it's not only the parents, the grandparents and in-laws, uncles and aunties, teachers. Now more than teacher, also neighbors. I remember, wallahi al-adim, we used to be so afraid of our neighbors. Because the neighbor cares. And between for the neighbor and father, there is always that you watch over my children, I watch over your kids. So we were so scared that teacher, the neighbor may see you doing something wrong or saying something wrong, because he will tell your father. If he doesn't, discipline you himself or herself. In kampungs, he used to be, right?
Yeah.
I don't know now. Now you don't even know the name of your neighbor. You are becoming like America. You don't even know who's your neighbor. Or if your neighbor knows you, he always complains that there are cars near your house. What can I do? It's the street. It's the road. If people park, it's the road. As long as they're not blocking you or entering with their own, mashallah, cars inside your house or inside your bedroom, you have no way to complain. But they complain. And to me, that's jealousy. Why you have people come into your house? Allahu Akbar. Astaghfirullah. So, it is not only parents who should parent. Welcome anyone who can talk to your children and make them better. Because sometimes children learn, sisters and brothers, from third party better than you. You see, sometimes you cannot even talk to yourself. You are out of words. Why? Because you are too emotionally involved. So you are already upset or excited so much. That's why words are blah, blah, blah from your mouth. But third party is not emotionally connected to your son or your daughter. For example, a few days ago, I received a couple of guests from Middle East. They used to be with me in America. This brother couldn't say to his son, shh. Another brother was telling him, who is not his father. I was amazed. He was doing his kid, you know, small kid, he doesn't know. He was doing some naughty things. The father couldn't say, shh, son, don't do this. But the other man was, simply because he's not his father. So we need sometimes those strangers who Allah bring them as rahmah to say, hey, don't do that. I will rot on you, follow, something like that. Because mommy cannot say that. Then they are afraid. And mommy say, okay, I will call auntie so and so. Suddenly you have auntie. Alright, so this is very important what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, about letting others helping you. Do not get upset. Some parents are very sensitive if others talk to their kids. Then when you have trouble, you want everybody to help now. Good for you. How about that? suffer. No. You didn't want. You were so upset if another brother, for example, talks to your son or daughter. You feel offended. Now when your son or daughter are doing things that you really don't like, and they may harm themselves physically even, you want everybody to come and help. Why? Prevention is better than cure. Preventing a problem is much better than falling into a problem and then trying to solve it. These things, my dear sisters and brothers, although we think they are small, but they are not. But parenting starts, I told you before marriage, is when you choose. Here, don't say, I'm sorry, or can I go back in history and fix my problem? Khalas. You're stuck now. Takbir. Now what to do? Don't let others do it. These advices I'm sharing with you, share with others. For example, before you fell in love, you should have thought, is this person going to be good father and mother for my children? Because you want to have family. Imagine your marriage was just so that you don't fall into haram. No, it's more than that. I want to have a family that says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. I told you the story of the father of Salahuddin. Salahuddin al-Ayyubi became quite old, his father, in age. He passed the 40s. And he didn't get married. And he was a general in the army. The reason why he didn't get married, because he was looking for a woman whom Allah will give him a child from her that will liberate Palestine. That was his. So he was so picky and choosy. He didn't find. Until Allah Azza wa Jal blessed him one day when he went to his sheikh. Generals didn't forget their shuyukh. Went to see his sheikh. The sheikh welcomed him, of course. He didn't see him for many years. Jihad, jihad, jihad. So he told him, sheikh. He asked him, did you get married? He said, no. He said, well, you are over 40. That's not right. The sunnah is to marry young. He said, I didn't find my type. He said, what's your type? He said, my type, a woman who will give me a child that liberates Palestine. While they were talking, someone came to the door and knocked the door. The sheikh, of course, this is his house. He went to open the door. He found one of his students, female student, fully covered, shy. She brought him some food. She said, my mother cooked some food for the sheikh. Take it, because his wife died. Then he asked her, while the general, the father of Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, is sitting inside, he doesn't see who is in the at the door. But he hears. The sheikh asked the girl, what happened with that boy I have sent to ask for your hand, my daughter? She said, sheikh, he's not my type. He said, what's your type? She said, a man whom Allah will give me a son from, who will liberate Palestine. Palestine, Palestine. True. Back there, he jumped. He said, sheikh, I want her. He doesn't even know how she looks. She goes covered. No. You want to see how he looks. You want to fall in, you want to cry between between before marriage, you want to cry. Man who makes you cry before marriage will make you happy after marriage. What's wrong with you? Takbir. They want to play drama, Indonesian, Malaysian.
Challenge.
No. Drama after marriage. There will be a lot of drama, don't worry. Allah, bismillah, bukus, and that's it. And I told you, you will never know a man before marriage. Sisters, you will never know a man before marriage. You, brothers, you will never, you think you know your wife. Until after marriage, you start knowing what type of woman she is. That behavior. Everything is fake before marriage. Because you want to get that thing, so you pretend. No. After marriage, how you got it? So you behave your way. Before marriage, everybody wakes up for Salat al-Subur and meet at the masjid. The taqwa she is behind you. After marriage, no one wants to wake up. Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So, a little bit of human, because I see you look with some of you. Hey, I don't know even your names, okay, guys? Some of you I know. And when I teach, I never go around the bushes. If I mean you, I will tell you. Don't worry about it. So, this issue of parenting, we should welcome any brother or sister. Any brother or sister who will add value to our children. And sometimes by saying no. By saying, shh, sit down. No problem, I shouldn't be offended because the child was making noise. If the child was so quiet and someone comes and says, shh, in this case, of course there is something wrong with the brother. But the child was naughty. The child was responding to you. Was about to hit you with something, God forbid. And you can't, being mother, then let somebody else handle it. And should thank him or her. SubhanAllah. So shaitan sometimes pushes that emotion that is inside you to say, who is this person doing this? No. It's like saving, God forbid, your son is crossing the street. And a stranger comes and pulls him out from the way of the truck. What is that person? Hero. Thank you. Your son was answering you that there was a truck coming to hit him, shaitan, and take him away from you forever. Then that person one day disciplined him, yelled at him, hit him for stealing on his hand. Next time, if there is Islamic law, they will cut off his hand. So at least his ustaz or teacher or whoever or grandma or whoever. Alhamdulillah, jazakallah. May Allah bless you. I wasn't there, or I was there, I was weak. So parenting starts with the person you choose. That person has to have certain qualities. Not of a good wife or a good husband only, but a good father and good mother. How do you see that? Well, you need to ask. You need to ask. For example, you see someone very good with kids. Potentially, he or she is a very good father or mother. You see someone, ta sabar, doesn't want even to be around kids. That's not good. He doesn't want even to be around kids. Not good. You see someone fighting with his own clothes, as we say in Algeria. You know, meaning he doesn't tolerate even his own clothes. Do you think this man will tolerate you or your children? So, you never saw beyond that. You were just prisoner of the look. And the biggest mistake sisters do is this. You think if you don't accept anyone, no one will marry you. That is a mistake. Don't do that. Trust Allah. If Allah has written for you to marry, you will marry. But because there are more sisters than brothers, there is always that also. Even parents have this. If no one comes to my daughter, no. Your daughter doesn't have to marry a Malay. She can marry Chinese Muslim. Why, what is the problem? But Muslim, mu'min, we practice Indian Muslim. Or we are Muslims in religion, but racist in our choices. There is a lot of racism among Muslims. And we need to speak against it. You see them first row in the masjid. Dato Sri. Chinese Muslim come to ask his daughter. He has almost half a heart attack. He can't. Chinese. Or black Muslim. Oh, heart attack for sure. Grandma will say, my grandchildren will be chocolate. Be here. As if she is, I don't know what. Durian. You also durian. Why you make fun of people's color? Honestly, we call ourselves Muslims. We call ourselves mu'mins. A brother from a different race or a sister from different race. Our children are interested? Khalas. We need now counseling and psychiatric hospital. Because we are not Muslims in mu'amalat. We are Muslims only in ibadat. We need to be both. Serious. In America, I saw what, oh my God, unthinkable. People who used to pray behind me, first row. Their daughters are in the age of marriage. A brother walks in with respect. Doesn't even talk to the daughter. He goes straight to the father. He has a job. He prays with us in the masjid, regularly. But because he's black or Asian or... Whoa. No way. So what happened to your Islam? Then you live in America. Okay, go back, live in your Aryan, German, Bavaria, whatever. Even Germany now is messed up and mixed up. Don't do that, my brothers and sisters. And expect that to come to you. Someone of different race, they come ask the hand of your daughter. Now, you may reject because of religion. No problem. Of the deen brother. But don't reject because,
oh, he's black.
No, don't do that. Or if he's blonde with blue eyes, like the hair, like all the brothers in the 90s suddenly wanted to marry Bosnian sisters in order to help, mashallah, with the Bosnian war. How about Somali sisters? Same time there was Somalia and Bosnia. No one talks about Somalia. Like the hair. Same time, I remember, there was famine in Somalia. There was war in Bosnia. Suddenly, all the brothers, mashallah, Malaysian brothers I knew in the 90s, Arab brothers, more and more. Actually, it's because they are white. The others are black. Simple as it. But both Muslims. Actually, better Muslim Somalis.
Yes.
If you know the history and if you know reality. Those people were still under communism. They were Muslim by name, by culture. The others were Muslim by faith. So this hypocrisy, we need to stop it. There is a lot of racism amongst us. And classism. Let's say a Datu family and the parents of the boy are not Datu. Difficult. Because Datin doesn't want. She already had planned for Pwansri. How come less than Datu comes? Takbir. And Datin forgot that she was born without Datiness. Had it not been for her husband working for the government or working for the Sultan, she would have never had Datin. Or for some money she has. What is this? Astaghfirullah. I don't like these things. Because really, this defines if we are Muslims or not. So when you reject someone for marriage, you reject him or her for lacking the most important ingredient of marriage, which is practicing Islam. Let's say he or she doesn't practice Islam. In this case, alhamdulillah, no one blames you. But you refuse them because they are not this or they are not that in the color or money or na'udhu billah. And many people regret, wallahi. Regret for Allah giving them a very good candidate and they refuse. Okay, my brothers and sisters? So, here I'm going to open now the floor for questions and answers because we need really to interact in this class because it's going to be the last about marriage. And we did four, mashallah. This is the fourth one. Now, for every problem, there is a solution. I repeat, for every problem, there is a solution. If there is good niyya to solve the problem. Don't worry about problems. Problems are part of who we are. To me, the human being is a problematic creation of God. Why? Just look at Allah create us, we worship somebody else. Allah gives us rest, we say thank you to Buddha or to Jesus or to whoever. Well, Allah gives the rest. subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, put in your mind, my sisters and brothers, that every problem in life has a solution. Sometimes, the solution is not with you, it's with third party. So, you seek help from Allah first, then from good people who may advise you. Because you are prisoner of that problem, you are not thinking, you are in a circle, you are in a quagmire, and twisted, you are being twisted, you can't think properly. Someone from outside can give you a rope, pull you out. So every problem can be solved, inshallah. But when I say it can be solved, doesn't mean to your liking. You just have to accept it. That this is solution. Rida, what we call Rida, you have to be pleased with the decision of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Marriage like that also. Sometimes we have many problems between husband and wife. Sometimes we have problems between parents and children.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there are ways of solving that, inshallah. If you go back to the Quran and Sunnah. But there is better way to solve that is to prevent it. That's where I am talking. I'm talking 80% about prevention, 20% about cure. Preventive medicine. We need it. We need to save it in marriage. So the youth, that's why I said yesterday to you, please bring your youth. So that they don't fall into this. Tomorrow, even if your son or daughter, let's say something happened, you can relate. He was there, you were there. You heard the sheikh what he was saying. Then you remind him or her, and then, okay, I got it. But you didn't get the immunization, how can I help you? Okay, I stop here, and I listen to your questions and what is, and please open your hearts, brothers and sisters. And asking doesn't mean it's you who have this problem, necessarily. For example, if I tell you something, doesn't mean it's me who is having this problem. But I'm asking for a friend, maybe a friend is shy to ask. Open your hands.